Tzeentch, the Chaos God of Change, Fate, Sorcery, Ambition, and making every Warhammer fan need a conspiracy board to understand what the hell is going on. Unlike the other Chaos Gods we've covered so far, like Khorne, who solves every problem by hitting it over and over again with a giant axe, or Slaanesh, who turns every hobby into an unhealthy obsession, Tzeentch, on the other hand, solves problems by creating 6 new problems and then convincing everyone that was the plan all along. Hello, my wonderful herd. We're back with my mini-series, where I'm breaking down every single one of the Chaos Gods and seeing just how powerful they are in the current setting of Warhammer 40k. By the end of the month, I'll rank them all from weakest to strongest based on their power in the 42nd millennia. But in today's video, we're covering the big bird himself, Tzeentch. Discussing who he is, his abilities, weapons, and his greatest feats, before finally scaling the Architect of Fate against the rest of the 40k universe. Just remember, folks, if at any point during this video, something doesn't make sense, that's probably because Tzeentch planned it that way. Now, just like usual, let's dolphin dive straight into the cowhole. For the Changer of Ways, all is dust. So just like usual, let's start with the beginning. Who exactly is Tzeentch? Tzeentch is the Chaos God of Change, Ambition, Fate, Sorcery, and Manipulation. He is essentially your gaslighting ex-girlfriend, meaning he is the embodiment of this concept across all time, space, and reality, as seen specifically in the 8th edition Chaos Demons Codex. Tzeentch is the cosmic manipulator. He feeds upon the need and desire for change. That is an essential part of all living things. Most mortals dream of prosperity, freedom, and a better tomorrow. These fantasies are not just the preserve of the impoverished or powerless. Even imperial planetary governors and battlefleet admirals dream of further riches or perhaps of an end to their responsibilities. All these dreams create a powerful impetus for change, and the ambitions of nations create a force that can change history. Tzeentch is the embodiment of that force. This is similar to all of the other Chaos Gods, as so far we've covered Khorne, who feeds on violence, and Slaanesh, who feeds on excess. But Tzeentch differs from them as he draws power from something almost every living creature experiences: the desire for a better tomorrow, the poor dream of wealth, the powerful dream of even greater power. Every ambition, every hope, every scheme, and every dream creates a desire for change, and that desire is Tzeentch's domain. In many ways, Tzeentch is the embodiment of history itself constantly moving forward. Entire civilizations rise and fall because people want something different than what they have today. Revolutions begin with ideas. Empires are built on ambition. Wars are fought over competing visions of the future. Every one of those forces empowers the Architect of Fate. This is why Tzeentch is known by titles such as the Changer of Ways, the Great Conspirator, the Master of Fortune, and the Architect of Fate. He is the god who sits behind every plot, every political scheme, every secret society, every revolution, and every grand design. And of course, Tzeentch does not simply observe these events. He actively interferes in them, as the Chaos God is constantly manipulating the strands of fate, nudging events towards outcomes only he can truly understand. His plans are so absurdly complex and layered that they often appear contradictory. One scheme may undermine another. Entire wars may be fought simply to set the stage for something thousands of years later. Beyond change and fate, Tzeentch is also the undisputed master of sorcery. Magic is fundamentally an act of imposing your will upon reality and forcing it to become something else. In other words, it is pretty much change made manifest. And because of this, Tzeentch stands as the single greatest sorcerer in the warp and reality, as stated in the 8th edition Chaos Demons Codex. And because of this, many of his followers are psykers and sorcerers, granted supernatural abilities in exchange for their service. So yes, Harry Potter is a worshiper of Tzeentch. Somebody get the blowtorch. Let's torch this nerd.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Die, heretic!
I don't know about you guys, but in the world of Harry Potter, did no one consider bringing a gun to fight Voldemort? Like, imagine if Harry had brought a Desert Eagle to his final duel. I'd love to see Voldemort bury that American piece of metal. Sorry, I've always had that on my mind, and speaking about Harry Potter kinda made me fall down that cowhole. And before I move on, I briefly want to revisit a point that I've already covered in my Korn and Slaanesh videos, because it's rather important for understanding Tzeentch. As discussed previously, the Chaos Gods are both sentient beings and concepts made manifest in the warp. And yeah, it kinda sounds a little confusing, but let me explain myself. First off, according to the 6th edition Chaos Demons Codex, the Chaos Gods were formed from the accumulated emotions, thoughts, desires, and beliefs of all living beings. As these psychic energies flowed through the warp over countless millennia, they gathered together and eventually became self-aware entities. This is also seen in the 8th edition Chaos Demons Codex, which states, "In the warp, similar thoughts and emotions gather together like rivulets of water running down a cliff face. They form streams and eddies of anguish and desire, pools of hatred and torrents of pride. Since the dawn of time, these tides and waves have flowed unceasingly through the mere realm of the warp. And such is their power that they form creatures made of the very stuff of unreality. Eventually, these instinctual, formless beings gained a rudimentary consciousness. The Chaos Gods were born vast psychic presences made of the fantasies and horrors of mortals. These are the ruinous powers, and each is a reflection of the passions that formed them. As the races of the galaxy prospered and grew, so too did their hopes and ambitions, their anger and wars, their love and hatred. This burgeoning flood of raw emotion fed the Chaos Gods and nurtured their power. Before long, the gods reached back to their makers with curious and hungry sentience, planting seeds of corruption in the souls of those whose dreams they passed through. So in summary, the Chaos Gods are both sentient beings and the living embodiments of the emotions, desires, and beliefs that created them. For Tzeentch, that means he is not just a god who schemes and manipulates fate. He is the very embodiment of change, ambition, hope, and transformation. He can think and act with purpose, but he is also forever bound to his own nature. Tzeentch can't stop scheming any more than Korn can stop waging war. Moving on, I hope you guys understand the big picture at this point. Even though Tzeentch is technically a warp entity, meaning he does not have a fixed physical body or true material form, like all of the other Chaos Gods, when he does choose to be perceived, he consistently presents a recognizable and terrifying shape, as seen in the 8th edition Chaos Demons Codex. The skin of Tzeentch crawls with constantly changing faces, leering at and mocking onlookers. As he speaks, these faces repeat his words with subtle but important differences, or provide a commentary that throws doubt upon his words. These lesser faces appear and disappear quickly, but the puckered visage of Tzeentch himself remains low down in his chest, so that the head and body are one. From above Tzeentch's burning eyes spring two sweeping horns, the spiraling extremities of which crackle with arcane fire. The ferment surrounding Tzeentch is heavy with magic, and it weaves like liquid smoke about his head, forming subtle and interwoven patterns. Forms of places and people appear in the mist as Tzeentch contemplates their fate. What this shows is that Tzeentch isn't really locked into a single stable appearance. Instead, his form is almost a visual manifestation of his own nature. The multiple faces speaking over one another reflect his domain over schemes and conflicting futures. And since we just talked about his appearance, it's only fair we next talk about Tzeentch's domain. And honestly, calling it a domain almost undersells what is going on here. Like Korn has his fortress of endless war and Slaanesh has her palace of pleasure, Tzeentch's domain, on the other hand, is far more alien. A living paradox belt out of magic, possibility, and pure conceptual instability, as described in the 8th edition Chaos Demons Codex. Of all the outlandish landscapes of the warp, Tzeentch's domain is the most bizarre and incomprehensible. His realm is woven from the raw fabric of magic. The Crystal Labyrinth, as it is known, sits upon an immense iridescent plateau, its presence felt across all of the demonic realms. Shifting avenues made from crystals of every color crisscross Tzeentch's realm as it contorts through 9 dimensions at once. Hidden pathways, built from lies and schemes, infiltrate the domains of the other gods, binding together the fractionist realms of chaos, the better to direct them to Tzeentch's will. And at the heart of this ever-shifting maze sits the impossible fortress, the inner sanctum of the Changer of Ways. This is where things stop behaving like anything recognizable. Buildings reconfigure themselves endlessly, corridors collapse into new geometries, and scale becomes absolutely meaningless. A single chamber can stretch endlessly into infinity or compress into something microscopic, depending on perception alone. Time, space, distance, and orientation lose consistency entirely, meaning navigating Tzeentch's realm is more of a psychological test than a physical journey. Inside this shifting core lies the hidden library. It is described as an infinite repository of information containing every fragment of knowledge, every idea, every possibility, and every thought that has ever existed or could exist across all time and space. But it's not just a calm library you'd find in your local town. It is a constantly shifting library. Even attempting to comprehend it is said to risk unraveling the mind, because the act of understanding something here means also understanding every possible version of it across time and space. So rather than being a place you would simply enter, the Crystal Labyrinth is something you get absorbed into. Your homework may be very difficult right now, but trust me, you don't want to venture into the Crystal Labyrinth for answers, because you'll probably get lost along the way and become part of the ever-changing library. Now, when it comes to alliances and vendettas among the Ruinous Pantheon, Tzeentch is no different from any of his brothers, as he too hates one of his brothers more than the others. This is seen in the 9th edition Chaos Demons Codex, which states, similarly, Tzeentch and Nurgle, respectively the manifestations of hope and despair, need little spurring to come to blows. Nurgle resents Tzeentch for there is no fatherly care in the mutations he wrecks, and Tzeentch feels equally antagonistic towards Nurgle, whose capering ways and jolly diseases lack the scheming and far-sighted plans of which the Changer of Ways is so fond. What this really highlights is their conflict isn't just personal, but also ideological at a fundamental level. Nurgle's gifts are static and comforting in their inevitability. His corruption spreads like a slow, nurturing decay that accepts stagnation as a form of twisted peace. Tzeentch, though, is pure instability, as he is change made form. He doesn't offer comfort or acceptance, he offers change for its own sake. Constant transformation without guarantee of an outcome, which immediately puts the two gods at odds with one another. But don't get me wrong, people. Both of them are absolutely out to get you, and are going to try to turn you into some unstable pile of goo. The difference between the two is that Nurgle will do it lovingly, like a warped act of kindness, while Tzeentch will do it on a whim just to see what happens. Yeah, but both of them really do suck. In terms of worshipping the big blue bird, he doesn't attract your everyday warriors or cultists in the traditional sense. He pulls thinkers, seekers, and most of all, nerds. These are mortals with enough ambition to push beyond accepted knowledge, or enough curiosity to ignore the warning signs. They often find themselves drawn into his influence long before they even realize it. Scholars chasing impossible answers, scientists probing forbidden theories, and philosophers trying to decode the structure of fate all become prime candidates for his attention, which starts as a curiosity slowly turns into dependency, as solutions, insights, or breakthroughs begin appearing from seemingly out of nowhere, always with strings attached, slowly but surely corrupting these mortals into becoming the followers of change. And from there, his most notable champions emerge, each reflecting a different form of his endless scheming and mastery over change. We have Magnus the Red, my Pookie, who was once a Primarch that did absolutely nothing wrong. And now, after several other decisions that were definitely not his fault either, he is now a demon Primarch of immense psychic power and quite possibly the strongest among his corrupted kin. Alongside him are demons like Karos Fateweaver, the Twisted Oracle of Tzeentch, and one of the biggest frauds I've seen in my gal life.
You're not an intellectual, you're a fake and a fraud.
The Changeling, a master of deception whose identity is never truly fixed, Azek Ahriman, the infamous sorcerer of the Thousand Suns, the Blue Scribes, a pair of iconic blue horrors, or even, and I'm going to butcher this, Gargalithoth, the Prince of a Thousand Faces, whose name is as confusing as trying to pinpoint which face is truly his. Each of them embody one of the many fragments of the Changer of Ways' impossible will. So now that we know who Tzeentch is, we can move on to discussing his abilities, his weapons, and most importantly, his feats across the wider 40K universe. Let's start as always with going over the Big Bird's more specific abilities. First off, as we discussed earlier, Tzeentch is the living embodiment of change itself. Every ambition, every revolution, every conspiracy, every scientific breakthrough, every political upheaval, every dream of a better tomorrow, and every scheme across time, space, and reality ultimately feeds into his power. So say, for example, if the material universe enters a particularly turbulent era, or if there is an unusual amount of scheming, plotting, and ambition taking place across the universe, there is a very good chance that Tzeentch's power grows alongside it. In extreme cases, this could even allow him to become the Ascendant Chaos God within the Great Game. And part of this stems from his almost incomprehensible awareness of fate and possibility, as seen in the 8th edition. Tzeentch is aware of the visions and plans of all mortals. He takes great delight in the plotting and politicking of others and favors the cunning over the strong. When the inner voice in a person's head speaks, when the desperate whisper their prayers into the night, it is the architect of fate that listens. He perceives every event and intention from this information. His unfathomable mind can work out how each will influence the future. The intertwining latticework of probability, hope, and change is Tzeentch's meat and drink. Without it, he would eventually fade away. Now, when you think about it, this is an absurd ability. Tzeentch doesn't even need to react to events as they happen like any other normal loser. He is instead constantly observing the hopes, fears, ambitions, and plans of countless beings across the universe and using that information to map out potential futures. But beyond simply being the embodiment of change, Tzeentch is also the god of magic. Or did you forget? In fact, the 8th edition is very clear on this point, saying Tzeentch is the undisputed master of sorcery, the most potent of all agents of change. That statement alone places him above every other powerful psyker in the entire setting, such as Magnus the Red or Azek Ahriman, or every Lord of Change. And beyond that, Tzeentch is not merely a powerful sorcerer, he is the ultimate expression of sorcery given form. Every spell, ritual, mutation, and act of arcane manipulation ultimately falls within his domain. And if that wasn't enough, people, Tzeentch's mastery over fate appears to extend across all of time, as seen in the 9th edition Chaos Demons Codex. Tzeentch perceives every event and intention, and from this information, his incomprehensible mind can determine how each and every strand will serve to influence the future. Only Tzeentch can see the tapestry of potential futures weaving forward in time like multicolored threads. Tzeentch's plans reach through time and space and can carry through untold centuries. Now, in 40K, some characters can predict the future to some degree, such as Elder Farseers, who look into the skein for potential futures. Other powerful psykers can do it as well, such as Malkador or the Emperor. Even certain Necron technologies can glimpse possible timelines. Tzeentch, however, doesn't just see one single future, but every possible future all at once. And even crazier, he can manipulate events across centuries in order to steer reality towards whatever outcome best serves his plans. And speaking of long-term planning, a great example of Big Bird scheming comes from the 8th edition Codex, when Tzeentch foresaw the rise of the Emperor long before the Great Crusade even began. The mysterious figure known as the Emperor rises upon Terra and unites the techno-barbarian tribes. As the Emperor's creations near fruition, Tzeentch senses a chain of events that would one day cause the downfall of the Chaos Gods. Influenced by the Master Schemer, the Dark Power sees the nascent Primarchs from the Emperor's Sanctum, casting them across the galaxy. Now, admittedly, this is almost as much of an Emperor feat as it is a Tzeentch feat. The fact that the Chaos Gods considered the Emperor enough of a threat to intervene at such an early stage says a lot about how powerful he was. But more importantly, it implies that Tzeentch foresaw a future in which the Emperor could potentially bring about the downfall of the ruinous pantheon. Whether that was through raw power, some grand plan, or a chain of events that would only unfold thousands of years later, I can't say for certain. But what we do know is that the Dark Gods felt compelled to act before that future could come to pass. In a way, the Primarch scattering itself is evidence that Tzeentch's vision was taken seriously by the Chaos Pantheon. Because if they didn't believe the threat was real, they would have no reason to intervene at all. However, there is an anti-feat for this precognition, as it appears that the Emperor on the Golden Throne could partially block it, as it is implied that Tzeentch did not see the revival of Rabute Gilliman. The blind spot in Tzeentch's precognitive sight clears, but too late for the Chaos Powers to halt the revival of the Loyalist Primarch, Rabute Gilliman. So yeah, we have another feat in a Tzeentch video that upscales the Emperor on the Golden Throne. Sorry guys, maybe this video is secretly Emperor propaganda.
Leave me alone!
But seriously, it appears that there are some limits to his future sight. Now, let's talk broadly about Tzeentch's abilities as a Chaos God, the powers he shares with the rest of the Pantheon. Like his siblings, Tzeentch exists within and can manipulate higher dimensions beyond conventional reality. He can influence concepts, realities, causality, and the very laws that govern existence. More importantly, he can reshape the warp to his will, as stated in the 4th edition Chaos Demons Codex. The realm of chaos is a place of dreams and nightmares, where cause, not need, follow effect. Within its bounds, anything is possible. Here, there are no physical laws akin to those that dominate the mortal world. Within its confines, hopes and fears become real, and reality is reborn as fevered hallucination. Gravity, shape, space, and reason all are in flux and utterly mutable to the will of the Chaos Gods. Few mortals are capable of perceiving the realm of chaos in its true splendor, for the living mind recoils from its otherworldly landscapes. Thus, no two visions of the realm of chaos are exactly alike and are often contradictory. This is one of those statements that is easy to skim past, but is actually kind of nutty when you sit down and think about it. We're not just talking about simple reality warping here. We're talking about a realm where cause and effect don't have to exist. Where time, space, gravity, logic, and even reason can be rewritten on a whim. And because Tzeentch is one of the dominant powers within the Immaterium, he naturally has authority over these forces. We already saw this when discussing the Crystalline Labyrinth, where dimensions fold over themselves, distances become meaningless, and reality behaves more like a fever dream than a physical location. But here, once again, we see that within the warp, Tzeentch has supreme control over reality, time, space, shape, causality, and pretty much every other concept in the Immaterium is his to mold and change. But that is not the only thing Tzeentch can manipulate, since he also has influence over the scheme. Now, I covered this in my Slaanesh and Khorne videos, so I'll try to keep this a little brief. The Skeen is essentially the vast web of fate, possibility, and potential futures that underlines reality. And if there's one Chaos God you'd expect to have his claws buried deep into that system, it's Tzeentch. Unlike, say, Slaanesh, who influences fate through temptation and obsession, Tzeentch manipulates the Skeen through schemes, knowledge, deception, and long-term planning. He constantly nudges events towards outcomes that benefit his incomprehensibly complex plans. For example, we see evidence of this in the book Scars, when a shard of Magnus the Red speaks to Jagatai Khan on the burned-out remains of Prospero. Magnus laughed. You don't want to know. That's always been your weakness. I know it all now. I could tell you the Emperor's name, and it would surprise you. I could tell you that the Fates decreed Fulgrim to be sent to Jacorus, and you to Chemos. I could tell you which arcane force in the universe prevented it. The Khan looked at him warily. You told me I had a choice. My fate, all fate, is still to be written. Magnus grinned. His eye seemed to be weeping, though it was hard to tell whether it was with tears or blood. Stories may meander, but the endings never change. Believe me, I have witnessed the authors, he shuddered. They are terrible, he whispered. So pretty much Magnus is essentially claiming that there are forces that are able to influence where the Primarchs ended up, how events unfolded, and how entire destinies were shaped long before the people involved ever realized it. Whether Magnus is completely correct is up for debate. But the important part here is that he gained enough insight into the workings of fate to glimpse what he calls the authors behind the story. It paints a picture of Tzeentch not simply seeing the future, but actively participating in the webs that create it. So yeah, Khorne can kill you, Nurgle can make you shit your brains out, and Slaanesh may corrupt you, but Tzeentch may have already manipulated the circumstances that led you to this moment 10,000 years before you were even born, and you don't even know it. Now moving on, as a Chaos God, even with all these absurd powers over fate, sorcery, and reality, Tzeentch still can't simply stroll into the material universe, as the sheer scale of a Chaos God is far too vast for real space to properly contain. So instead, Tzeentch breaks off a fragment of his own essence, creating lesser beings that can enter reality to enact his schemes, spread mutation, and further the endless plans of the Architect of Fate. This is how the process is described in the 8th edition Chaos Demons Codex. The Chaos Gods are not alone in warp space. They have created servants from their own essences, the creatures mortals call demons. Demons are beings of a somewhat different nature to their masters, and are the most numerous of the warp's inhabitants. A demon is born when a Chaos God expends a portion of its power to create a separate being. This power binds a collection of senses, thoughts, and purposes together, creating a personality and consciousness that can move within the warp. The Chaos God can reclaim the independence it has given to its minions at any time. This ensures their continuing loyalty and means although some wayward demons may not act entirely in accordance with their master's commands, even the greatest of them would not dare outright defiance. So essentially, Tzeentch can create countless variations of himself, which are fragments of his own power, given unique personalities, forms, and purposes that act as extensions of the Changer of Ways. These demons range from lesser entities like Blue Horrors of Tzeentch to heralds and even powerful greater demons, such as the Lords of Change. Each vary dramatically in power depending on how much of Tzeentch's essence was invested into their creation, but all ultimately serve the same purpose, carrying out the endless schemes of the Great Conspirator. So those are Big Bird's specific abilities, along with the broader powers he shares with the other Chaos Gods. Next, let's move on to Tzeentch's weapon. And well, just like Slaanesh, Tzeentch doesn't really have one, nor does he really need one. As the Chaos God of Change, Sorcery, Fate, and Manipulation, his greatest weapon has always been his mastery over magic. However, according to the 4th edition Chaos Demons Codex, there was a period during the Great Game when Tzeentch stood supreme over the other Chaos Gods. And during this era, he wielded an artifact known as the Crystal Staff of Tzeentch, his mightiest tool of power. Now don't worry, I'm going to circle back to this story in a moment. But for this part of the video, I'm mainly focused on this weapon, the Crystal Staff of Tzeentch. And when Tzeentch was finally brought down, through the efforts of the other three Chaos Gods, Nurgle, Slaanesh, and Khorne, Tzeentch's staff was shattered. And the Codex states this upon its destruction. With the great sorcerous explosion, the staff shattered and its uncountable shards were flung to every corner of space and time, irredeemably lost. This way, Tzeentch made sure that nobody could wield as much power as he once did. Each shard of Tzeentch's crystal staff took the form of a different spell, a tiny fragment of his ultimate control over change. This event coincides with the birth of magic in the universe. For what is magic if not mastery over change? And yeah, folks, the implications of this passage are pretty damn nuts. The text is essentially implying that the destruction of Tzeentch's greatest artifact scattered fragments of his power across all of reality and time, and with every shard becoming its own unique spell. Meaning, if taken at face value, this means that every sorcerer, psyker, wizard, demon, and magical practitioner throughout history is effectively drawing upon tiny pieces of what once was Tzeentch's ultimate weapon. But what's even crazier is that the destruction of this staff was significant enough to knock Tzeentch down from his position above the other Chaos Gods. Just think about that for a second. We're talking about an artifact so important and so powerful that losing it helped drag the Architect of Fate back down into balance with the rest of the Pantheon. You really could make the argument that if the Crystal Staff really was tied to the birth of magic and not just some silly metaphor, then it may very well be one of the most powerful weapons ever described and used in Warhammer 40k lore. But of course, the Purple Nurple does not wield this weapon in the current setting. So I guess I probably shouldn't have gone so in-depth on a weapon that has already been destroyed. But I guess, hindsight is 20/20, fellas. Now let's finally talk about Tzeentch's feats. And first off, just like the other Chaos Gods, Tzeentch is one of the primary contenders in the Great Game. The Endless War fought between the Chaos Gods for supremacy over the Warp. And this conflict has raged since the dawn of time, with the gods battling for power across the warp, while seeking to expand their influence over reality. With the ebb and flow of energy within the warp, the power of a chaos god expands and contracts, and his realm will shift accordingly. For long periods, one god may dominate the others, fed by its own success and leeching its foe's energy for its own growth. Eventually, the other gods will ally against the dominant force and through combined efforts reduce him in power until another of their number rises to prominence. This pattern is played out again and again through eternity, and it seems unlikely that any chaos god could ever truly be victorious. And it is unthinkable what might happen should such an event ever occur, but it certainly is not for the lack of trying. That same codex goes on to describe that the battles between the chaos gods shake the very foundations of the Immaterium, with the repercussions even spilling into real space, causing warp storms and demonic incursions. In other words, their wars are so destructive that entire regions of space can suffer the consequences. This is also an important feat for Tzeentch specifically. Simply being a major player in the Great Game means he possesses enough power to contend with Khorne, Nurgle, and Slaanesh, without being overwhelmed or destroyed outright. Now, I don't want to spoil exactly where Tzeentch currently ranks within the Ruinous Pantheon, because I'm going to save that for the conclusion of this series, but it's important to remember that the strength of the Chaos Gods fluctuates depending on what's happening within the material realm. Periods of rampant warfare empower Khorne, ages of despair feed Nurgle, civilizations collapsing into excess strengthen Slaanesh. And whenever the galaxy enters an era of change, ambition, deception, or political intrigue, that's when Tzeentch starts rubbing his bird hands together and climbing the leaderboard of the Great Game. In addition to this, the 9th edition Demons of Chaos Codex suggests that Tzeentch possesses a unique advantage over the other Chaos Gods, not necessarily in direct combat, but in the endless political and strategic maneuvering that accompanies the Great Game. But it is Devious Tzeentch who is truly the master of this game of bluff and bargain. To the changer of ways, the designs of his brothers are as transparent as crystals and as manipulatable as clay. It is a rare day indeed when the great god Tzeentch is bested in the Court of Covenant, and he has more than once reversed the course of the Great Game from within its confines. So while this isn't necessarily a feat of raw power, it is absolutely a feat of influence. Tzeentch may not always be the strongest god in the room, but he is very often the smartest.
Nerd, you're a fucking nerd. Nerd, you're a fucking nerd.
Now across the extent of the Great Game, there have been countless wars, invasions, betrayals, and battles for dominance between the Chaos Gods. Unfortunately, most of these conflicts aren't fully recorded, and there are likely thousands of victories and defeats we simply have never heard about. Still, the sources we do have paint a pretty insane picture of Tzeentch's influence and power across the extent of the Great Game. First off, in the 8th edition Chaos Demons Codex, this codex notes that if the Chaos Gods had truly worked together following the formation of the Great Rift, they may have been able to consume reality itself. Had the Chaos Gods worked in unison in the wake of that terrible event, it is doubtless that real space would have been utterly consumed by the sprawling madness of the warp. Yet true to their nature, the Dark Brothers saw the Anarchy as an opportunity to fulfill their own agendas. To kill, to change, to pollute, to bathe in excess. So divided, they were unable to overcome the fierce resistance of the galaxy's inhabitants. So from this, we can see that the Chaos Gods had the potential power to wipe out reality. Though I kind of assume you already knew that. But when it comes to Tzeentch specifically, one of his greatest historical feats comes from a period where he was allegedly the strongest Chaos God to ever exist. Now, we don't know exactly when this occurred, because the warp is an absolute dumpster fire of nonsense where time doesn't function. So it's kind of impossible to know when this really happened, but the feat still stands and it's absolutely insane. There was a time when Tzeentch ruled supreme over the warp. His power is vastly superior to those of any of his brothers, or so maintained his followers. In their envy and arrogance, the other Dark Gods set aside their differences and joined forces to overthrow the Architect of Fate. Territories too vast and maddening to comprehend were devastated in the cataclysmic conflict that followed. During the final battle, with defeat seeming inevitable, Tzeentch cast a great conjuration upon himself, crystallizing his thoughts and body even as he was lifted up from his perch and hurled against the endless mountains. Upon impact, his mighty form was shattered into 10,000 pieces. This is what I like to call Prime Tzeentch. And notice how the wording in that excerpt doesn't say Tzeentch was slightly or marginally stronger. It says his power was vastly superior to any of his brothers. And it literally took Khorne, Slaanesh, and Nurgle putting aside their endless rivalries and jumping him together just to bring him down. And it gets even crazier, as that same codex states that if Tzeentch were to somehow recover that lost power, he would once again dominate the Great Game and rule over all creation. Wow, folks, that's just ballistic. Now, unfortunately for me and for the Purple Nurple, this version of Tzeentch no longer exists. As his crystal staff was shattered, his power fragmented, and the pieces scattered across all of existence. But it does show us that Tzeentch's ceiling may very well be the highest of any other Chaos God we've ever seen. In fact, when I made my top 15 most powerful characters in all of Warhammer 40k list, I ranked Prime Tzeentch at number 2 overall, only behind the Dark King, the literal embodiment of apocalyptic ruin and destruction. So yeah, Prime Tzeentch was kinda moving different, just like LeBron in Miami. My favorite metaphor to ever use.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
Moving on from that insanity, after the fall of the Eldari and the birth of Slaanesh, we see Tzeentch involved in another major conflict, as he sought to overthrow an ascendant Khorne. And to do so, he allied with both Nurgle and Slaanesh to get the job done. Glutted upon the souls of the Eldari, the Dark Prince expands his domain. Such a bold move is met with great opposition, and the Chaos Gods turn their attention fully to the Great Game. Meanwhile, Tzeentch allies with Nurgle and Slaanesh to gain ascendancy over Khorne, yet it is short-lived. The Blood God's immense rage at being usurped leads him to reclaim his lost territory and more besides. So technically speaking, Tzeentch and his allies, Nurgle and Slaanesh, did manage to gain the upper hand against Khorne, at least for a portion of time. The problem, though, it took 3 Chaos Gods to accomplish this. And even then, Khorne eventually got angry enough to take everything back. Thankfully, we get even more context for this war later in that same edition, as seen in the Skulllands. There, Tzeentch manipulated events behind the scenes, luring away vast portions of Khorne's army with illusions, while encouraging Nurgle and Slaanesh to launch a full-scale invasion, and the plan worked for the most part. Khorne's forces were pushed all the way back to the walls of the Brass Citadel, and victory appeared certain. Then somehow, a stray spark of Tzeentchian warp flame ignited Nurgle's garden, which had since spread across all of Khorne's domain. Sure, yeah, sure, a stray spark.
Oh, Khorne, you are so absolutely fucked. Once my blue lilies sprout and release their plague, this game is so over. What the hell?
from one of Zeench's demons. You know, the god of schemes. I'm sure that was a total accident. The resulting inferno engulfed Nurgle and Slaanesh's forces, shattered the alliance, and gave Khorne the opening he needed to reverse the invasion. What this really demonstrates, though, is Zeench's true strength. He doesn't really need to overpower his enemies. He can manipulate them into besting each other. Outside of the Great Game itself, Zeench has orchestrated countless schemes across reality. Events such as the Plotter Plots, which saw his demonic legions spread madness and corruption across entire subsections, as well as Zeench playing a major role in provoking conflicts like the War in the Rift, and the battle surrounding the Scourge Stars, which helped escalate what would become one of the largest chaos conflicts ever to spill directly into real space. One of the most insane examples comes from the Battle of Vergrid, described as one of the largest manifestations of the Great Game ever witnessed in reality. The titanic engagements between the Chaos God's legions take place across 100 fronts, but one single battle stands above all others, for none can match the sheer scale of slaughter that occurs upon the planet of Vigrid. Armies clash and powers of such magnitude are released that the planet, now reshaped into a demon world, is shattered and the debris shifting into the warp where the surviving combatants continue their battle as they float upon the formless seas of the Immaterium. It is a maelstrom of conflict unending, with each side sending a constant stream of new legions. Yeah, so let that sink in. The fighting became so catastrophic that an entire demon world was literally torn apart, and the armies just kept fighting afterwards while drifting through the warp. Man, that is a badass image. Eventually, Zeench proposed settling the conflict through a contest of champions. Confident in each of their own victories, the other Chaos Gods agreed. And surprise, surprise, Zeench selected the Fraud Master himself, Kharos Fateweaver.
I've made a severe and continuous lapse in my judgment.
Unfortunately, because Kharos is a professional fraud, the battle wasn't exactly going as planned, as Khorne's champion was dominating the fight until the Fateweaver somehow emerged victorious through trickery, deception, or whatever nonsense he had prepared beforehand. The Codex never actually explains how he won, but the result is quite clear. Khorne got so angry that his roar literally shattered every illusion on the battlefield, blasted apart the surrounding war zone, and shook reality to its core. So while Kharos technically secured the victory for Zeench, it definitely wasn't through raw strength. But still, Zeench would probably count that as a win with double points since he rage-baited Khorne. Now that we've covered Zeench's many abilities, his non-existent weapon, and his feats across 40k, we now need to, of course, do the most important thing. Scale him against the rest of the Warhammer 40k universe. Before we talk about where Zeench scales specifically, we need to lay out the almighty, the fabulous, the very cool, the ever-changing, and the probably already out of date by the time you finish reading it, best part of the video. A Chaos Power Pyramid, with the same tiers as always. At the bottom, we've got the Chapter Master tier. This is where you'll find your standard Orc Warbosses, Eldar Exarchs, and your standard Space Marine Chapter Masters. Above that is the Enhanced tier, where you'll find your standard Custodians, the Gene-Enhanced Warriors of the Emperor. Then we have the Swarmlord, the supposed pinnacle of the Hive Mind, who is apparently a big fat fraud. And at the top of the Enhanced tier, we have Lilith Hesperax, the Queen of Knives. One of the greatest mortal fighters in the entire galaxy, who I see as the true gatekeeper of the top of the Enhanced tier. Next comes the Primarch tiers. And just like I did in the Slaanesh video, I need to clarify something here before moving on, because a ton of people got confused last time. When I say base Primarch, I'm not talking about amp versions like Lionel Johnson in 40k wielding the Emperor's Shield or Sanguinius during the Siege of Terra, who basically couldn't die until he fought Horus. I'm talking about the Primarchs at the height of the Great Crusade, when they're unamped, unaltered, and at their normal baseline, hence the word base. The low Primarch tier includes most named greater demons like Scarbrand, Kugath, or Angrath the Unbound, as well as most avatars of Kane and the weaker base Primarchs like Lorgar, Alpharius, Omegon, and Gilliman. Then we have the high Primarch tier, where the strongest of the base Primarchs sit. Here we find Sanguinius, the Lion, Horus, Leman Russ, Conrad Kurz, Angron, and Fulgrim. After that, we reach the planetary tier, which includes transcending Catan shards and the demon Primarchs. These are beings who can threaten or outright destroy an entire world. Above that is the cosmic tier, where I place entities like the Silent King or the Emperor in 30K. These are beings who operate on a galactic and metaphysical scale far beyond even the Primarchs. And finally, at the very top of the entire 40K universe, we reach the multiversal tier. This is where you find God Emperor Horus, the Emperor on the Golden Throne, and the fully formed Catan. These are entities whose influence and power stretches across realities, timelines, possibility, fate, and the very structure of existence. And with all of that firmly established, it's finally time to see where the architect of fate, the changer of ways, the big bird himself, truly sits in the hierarchy of Warhammer 40K. Well, at this point, I'm basically just doing a remix of my Khorne and Slaanesh videos, with a different color filter slapped on top of it, which is kind of the Chaos Gods in a nutshell if we're being really honest here. Same problem, different flavor of Apocalypse. Anyways, just like with the other two degens, we're dealing with the exact same structural issue here. Tzeentch has obvious reality manipulation, access to the Skeen, and warp control. And on top of that, he exists across multiple realities, affecting countless timelines and parallel outcomes all at once. So by definition, he immediately sits in the multiversal tier, easily scaling over everything in the Chaptermaster, Enhanced, Primarch, Planetary, and Cosmic tiers. And the real discussion starts after that, because once again, we have to talk about the upper end of the setting, and trying to figure out where exactly Tzeentch sits. Because in this tier, like I said, we have the Throne-bound Emperor, Horus, in his God Emperor form, the other Chaos Gods, and of course, the fully formed Catan. Let's start with the bald menace, Horus Lubergau. Even at his absolute peak, during the Siege of Terra, Horus is still essentially a demigod overloaded with fragments of chaos power he doesn't fully comprehend. Sure, he can manipulate time, space, reality, and even the Skeen, but it's more like handing a child the controls to a collapsing star engine and hoping for the best. On top of that, he's only ever wielding a fraction of what the Chaos Gods actually represent. A sliver, a drop, but not the ocean. Meanwhile, Tzeentch isn't a fragment of anything. He is the ocean, the full conceptual embodiment of magic, schemes, and change across the warp. So if this turned into a full-on warp fight, Horus doesn't really scale so much as he gets completely overwhelmed by the difference in their powers. Meaning, Horus gets absolutely dog-walked. Next, we have the Emperor sitting on his very expensive, very rotting golden throne. And for additional context, the Emperor is arguably the most powerful individual psychic entity currently alive in this setting. Well, if you want to say alive.
Okay, we are cooked.
Even in his crippled state, he projects enough psychic force to sustain the Astronomicon, shield humanity from countless warp threats, and keep the Imperium from immediately collapsing into a screaming extinction event. But more importantly, he has one feat that the Chaos Gods absolutely can't just ignore. He burned part of Nurgle's garden inside Nurgle's own domain. And the craziest thing about that is the Emperor may not have been acting as a single focus being. As according to the 5th edition Warhammer rulebook, his immense psychic powers envelop and protect mankind across the entire galaxy. His consciousness wanders through warp space, warring against demons that inhabit it, keeping closed the doors between this world and the next. This is further supported by the Plague Wars trilogy, where we see Gilliman converse with the Emperor, and it takes an immense amount of effort to gather enough of himself to converse with Gilliman. Well, if you want to call that conversing. So the Emperor possessing Gilliman may not have been the full weight of the God Emperor's power. So what we're dealing with here is not a single localized being, but the Emperor more fragmented and distributed across the galaxy, as his consciousness appears to extend across real space, the warp, and time itself. And when we bring Tzeentch into this equation, things get a lot more uncertain. On one hand, the Emperor represents an anathema to the warp, a force that chaos entities are instinctively repelled by, making him their greatest enemy. On the other hand, Tzeentch is the literal embodiment of change, fate, sorcery, and possibility within the warp, with influence stretching across time, probability, and countless branching futures via the scheme. Now, unfortunately, we don't know if the Emperor would be able to replicate his feat of burning Nurgle's garden within, say, Tzeentch's crystalline labyrinth, since Nurgle may have been at his lowest due to the events of the Plague War. But speaking realistically though, Tzeentch and the Emperor sit in a very similar bracket of power. If say we stacked them against each other in a series of fictional, highly cinematic battles directed by Michael Bay, in some of their fights, Tzeentch's mastery of fate and foresight could give him a slight edge, but in others, the Emperor's nature and resistance to the warp's influence might let him push back against the Purple Nurple. So rather than forcing a hard conclusion, the most accurate placement is this. Tzeentch is either very slightly above the Emperor, effectively relative to him in a way where neither can be cleanly said to overpower the other, or very slightly below the Emperor. And on the pyramid, that's exactly where I'm going to put him. Right smack in the middle. They're almost kissing each other, for Christ's sake. Now in regards to the other Chaos Gods, and since, you know, I don't want to spoil the full rankings later, I'll keep this quite simple. Tzeentch sits at the same top bracket as the other Chaos Gods, operating on a multiversal level of reality-shaping influence. And that's all I'm going to say for now. No spoilers, fellas. Also, in regards to the Catan, like I've talked about many, many times, the Catan were the peak of the material universe. Beings of pure physical law given form, as they were able to manipulate time, space, causality, and even erase existence itself. But once again, this comparison breaks down because they don't operate on the same axis of reality. The Catan are masters of the Materium, while Tzeentch is the embodiment of change, fate, and magic within the warp. One is a structure, the other is possibility. So in the current setting, with the Catan shattered, and the Chaos Gods fully active and empowered, Tzeentch, like the rest of his brothers, comfortably sits at the top of the multiversal tier, either slightly ahead of, directly comparable, or potentially directly behind the Emperor in 40k, upon his giant golden tuba tub. And that, people, is going to do it for today's video. We just have one fella left, the stinkiest chud in the galaxy, Nurgle, who we'll tackle very, very soon. As always, a massive shout out to my channel members. Your support genuinely means a lot to me and helps me keep cranking out these silly power scaling videos. Shout out Imposy Paul, Ritter S, Musty, Seth Capazilla, Lag, Cunning Karkle, Caleb White, Dinkleberry, Anish Chatterjee, Morley Bankrupt, 1461, Jack Rohr, and Michael Skipper, 7277. I appreciate all of you more than you guys could know. If you enjoyed this video, make sure to give it a like and subscribe to A Fallen Cow. And as always, stay milked, my beloved herd. I'll see you all real, real soon.